whole week we've been talking about this resurrection life. I want you to go to the book of Luke, please. Chapter 3. And I'm reading verse 16. John answered them all by saying, I baptize with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not fit to unfasten. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, King James says, the Holy Ghost, and fire. So it's very evident who the baptizer is. Yes, he saves you, but he saves you so that he can fill you. He doesn't just save you. He saves you to fill you with himself. Somebody said, well, when you get saved, you get filled with him. But I'm talking about being powered by him. Can you say amen? Verse 17, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge. He will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff, or you say chaff, will he burn with fire unquenchable. Now, it's very evident when you get around God that the Bible obviously tells us our God is a consuming fire. You go to the book of Revelation, when John saw Jesus in the Isle of Patmos, he said his eyes were as flames of fire. So fire is not something just related to people think fire, they think of hell. But the fire of God is a holy fire. It's a fire that comes and purifies. And it's very evident from the scripture that the Bible says that the devil used to walk, and I'm talking about Lucifer, would walk up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So there's a lot of things about fire that you can only have a full understanding when you get to the other side, because you can't conceptualize that at this point. But the fire of God is so important in the life of the believer. This is why the disciples, as I said to you the other day, were saved on the road as they met Jesus when he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's when they were born again, not on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost when they received fire power. Because he said, you shall receive power. You shall receive fire power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Because it's the word dunamis, and it's explosive. It's not a power that's just sitting. It's an explosive. It's dynamite. Dunamis. You shall receive dunamis. You shall receive explosive fire power. That's what's in an engine. Combustion engine is fire power. And you put your pedal to the metal, it puts more gasoline, more fire, and phew, you go. How many have been caught doing what you shouldn't do on the highway? Heading down the highway. Come on. Raise your hand now. Just be honest. I mean, it is tempting. It is. I mean, this confession time. Yeah, I drive a Ford F-150, a Raptor. It's an off-road version. It won the Baja 1000. I mean, the thing's got 460 horsepower, and it's just, before you know, it's at 90. I don't know how it happens, but it just gets, and it wants to go. It just wants to, let me go, let me go, let me go. When I drive it, let me go, let me go, let me go. And I don't know if I've ever told you this, and I probably shouldn't, but, no, I probably shouldn't tell you, but. I live 52 miles from the church. We live up in the middle of a forest. So I come out of the house and come get onto the 75 heading south. And I mean, out of nowhere is a red Ferrari. It's right there. He's right there by me. And I don't know what happened. But something in me saw that red Ferrari, and I thought, I want to see what he does. And so you could see, you know, you could see when a car's pulling away, so I just punched it. And before, I mean, just within a little, I was right by him. I'm just right by him. Now, I shouldn't even tell you what I was doing, but, and I'm going along. You talk about firepower. I'm sitting with this Ferrari at 140 miles an hour. Watch this now. No. And it was at that point in your mind where it don't matter where this is going. He is not going anywhere away from me. So the guy, after about 10 miles, he pulled away. I think he wanted to see what this was. What is this thing that is behind him? So he pulled to the side, and I came around him, and then I pulled in front of him because I wanted him to see. Read the side, see what this is. And so he pulled around me, and he punched it again, and I punched it again, and I stayed with him. I stayed with him for 30 minutes. It was the fastest time I've ever made it down that stretch. And he had to take another highway, and he went off, and I jokingly, I slowed right down, went the speed limit, just like a little angel. But it was that momentary moment of insanity where you couldn't help yourself. There was no way. He could not pull away from me. You know, at 140 miles an hour, it's 140 miles, 140 miles. He couldn't pull away from me. So I was with him, and I was going to go wherever he went. And the only difference between him and me, I could go off-road. He couldn't. So I jokingly say, he pulled over, went to the Ferrari dealer and said, get rid of this thing. I saw a guy in an F-150. He stayed right there with me the whole way. Anyway, firepower, horsepower. You hear about it in your vehicle. Who has some fast vehicles here? How many horses? How many horse? 460. Who else? Huh? Yeah, that's a truck. Okay. Come on. Who's got some? Huh? What you got? A 12-cylinder? What is it? Huh? A Bentley 12. What's the horse on that thing? Wow. Okay. All right. Now, they soup the things up. You can put a Hennessy conversion on that thing I have and take it to 800 horse. So my staff said, Pastor, do not upgrade it. Do not put the conversion in it. But I'm just feeling the anointing to do that. I just feel... Huh? I just feel that something needs to be. It's a beautiful color red. It's amazing truck, and I've had it for quite a number. It's got over 50,000 miles, but it's spotless. I keep it clean, but it flies. It just flies. Amen. Pastor said I should wait till after DC before I do anything. No. Obviously, you should keep the speed limit, and I rebuked myself. I did. But I confess, I tell people, you know, I told my church, I said, look, I'm human. And y'all pray for me because your pastor did stuff he shouldn't have done. And they said, what was that, Pastor? I said, I chased a Ferrari. And please forgive me. And they all said, Pastor, we've done similar things. So the people felt at home. But anyway, the firepower, the horsepower, the ability to propel, the fire of God comes. And it propels you. The fire of God moves you. That's why he said, go into all the world. But you're not going with nothing. You're going with power. He says, you go, and when you go, I'll go with you. You speak, I'll speak through you. You touch, I'll touch through you. You allow me to use you. I'll use your hands, I'll use your mouth, I'll use your feet. You let me live in you. So then it's like we are the vehicle that he wants to use, that we carry his presence, we carry his power, we carry that resurrection life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Now, some of you, please come back at me now. Just come, stay with me. You're still racing down the highway. Get over that now. It's finished. It's done. Okay? I've already repented and asked the Lord to forgive me. Actually, I didn't really feel like I did anything wrong because... but it was. I mean, it just really was. I didn't really. I said, Lord, surely, you fly faster than this. I mean, Lord. And, you know, God drives a car too. How many know that? Who knows that? When God came to Job's house, he pulled up in a whirlwind. That's God's car he drives. Just comes right there. So I think speed is in us, you know. Just like, I mean, like going fast. You just want to go fast. It's just something in us. We want to fly. We want to go. We want power. People are looking for power in the world. They want power. They don't want something that's dead. There's nothing worse than your phone runs out of power. Your car runs out of power, runs out of gas. Things don't go. And it's the same in the Christian life. The power of God is there to empower you, to grace you, to enable you. God says, you're going to go and you're going to preach my word, but don't worry, I'm coming with you and I'm going to back you up. I'm going to back you up. In other words, I've got your back. You go, you deliver my message, and then I will release my power to back up the message you just spoke. And when you speak my word, it's not just your word. My word is like a hammer that breaks the rock into pieces. My word is like a fire. So you speak the word, and the word comes out with power, and it goes through into the minds and drops straight into the heart, and it's like a time release capture, and then it blows up. I mean, just boom, on the inside of people. They get healed, they get delivered. Jesus sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Hallelujah. Come on now, say amen, somebody. Glory to God. That's why there's a place for teaching. Very important. We do a lot of that. We have a Bible school and I do a lot of teaching. But then there's a place for preaching. I mean, it's like when it's coming out like an AR-15, you know what I mean? I mean, just coming out. It's just firepower. Hallelujah. Somebody said, my God, he's crazy. He's racing down the highway. Now he's got an AR-15. Welcome to America. I have one or two weapons. Amen. Actually, in fact, I'm not sure how many I have. I don't remember where they all are either. Amen. I think I have a few. Now, the 50 cal is an amazing piece. The 50 caliber Desert Eagle. The firepower on that thing is so huge. I've watched grown men shoot it, one shot, and put it down, and then their hand shakes. You hold it like this, and you brace yourself. The thing shoots, it comes right back, it comes right there, and then it goes down, and a flame comes out the front of it. It is firepower. It is firepower. And why am I relating that to what I'm talking about? Because the power of God's greater than any weapon known to man. That's why the devil's afraid. The devil has literally disarmed the church. He's given them, they've got all the guns, but there's no bullets. And if there is, it's a BB. Now, I come from Africa. We do big game hunting. Now, I know you call it big game hunting here, but it's not. Come on. Seriously? It's just not. Huh? The animals are not that big yet. I mean, I've never been charged by a squirrel. I've never had a squirrel charge me. But there's quality. You can't go hunting in Africa, big game. You have to have a minimum of a 375 and preferably a 416 Rigby. And I use a 458 and I have a 500 Gibbs, which a man made it for me and brought it. I said, why did you make this 500? He said, it's just an unbelievable weapon. I said, what does it do? He said, it'll break your shoulder. I said, well, thank you. But when an elephant is charging you, you better have the firepower to take it out. Will you listen to me? It's not a game. You don't go shooting elephants with a BB. And God has not given the church a BB. God has given you adequate firepower to go into any city, any town, any village, any nation, wherever you are, by the power of the Holy Ghost, and release the brusapaya, and then you brufondele, and you brafandeste, and there brufonde, and the job gets done. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo. Somebody said, why did you speak in tongues? Because I felt it on the inside. Hallelujah. It's hard to even put in English language what you feel when you realize that he has given you this power, this ability, and this might, and the enemy doesn't like it. He wants to shut your mouth. He wants to shut your voice. They say, don't say that here. Don't do this here. Don't do that here. Why? Because he knows when you say that and do that, it's going to release the power. And if the power gets out, it's over. You know, give him the BB. Give him the air gun. Let him shoot the air gun. Don't bring that 50 cal out. The devil's afraid. And he's afraid of you. He's afraid of you. Because you have the power. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. All the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You have the power. Say this off me. I have the power. Now say it. I have the fire power over all the power of the enemy. It's not your power. The power source does not originate from you. It originates from him. He puts it on the inside of you, but you have to yield. Your Holy Ghost atomic bomb. You understand what I'm saying? You God's weapon of mass destruction on the devil. You God's lethal weapon. One man, one woman, no matter what the age, full of the Holy Ghost. One man, one woman, regardless of the age, regardless of language and nationality, how much money or you have or don't have, education you have or don't have, one man, one woman, full of the fire of God. Let me tell you right now, when that individual realizes that greater is he that is in them, that is he that is in the world, they will rise up and they will boldly proclaim. And I tell you, the power of God will be made manifest. Demons tremble. Demons tremble and quake. You just by your very presence, it sets up, it unnerves the enemy. Devils are on the run. When you come into the town, the demons duck in the sewers and the trash cans, and they shiver in the alleys and say, has he passed by yet? He's gone. Okay, you can come out now. Because light causes darkness to flee. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I mean, how can we quote a scripture like, great is he that's in me than he that's in the world? And then we just say, well, this great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What does that mean? What does it mean? Great is he that's in you than he that's in the world. What does that mean? Well, Pastor, I just know that great is he that's in me than he that's in the world. What's that? What does that mean? What does that mean? And some people, it's like convincing themselves. Like they're walking, you know, through the graveyard at 2 o'clock in the morning. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. And the owl goes, woo, woo, huh? I'm not afraid. They're trying to convince themselves. This is not something you convince yourself of. This is something you feel down. You feel it. Oh, hallelujah. You feel it. I mean, in myself, I have every opportunity in the natural to be afraid of anything. I can be afraid of every single thing on the planet. But when the Spirit of God rises up on inside of you, it all the fear dissipates. It's gone. It's not there. There is no fear. There is no fear. No fear. because it's been flooded out by the presence of God. And when you receive the commandment and you receive the commission, then you go. And he does what he says he'll do. Now, you look at the scripture and you see that it's very plain, and I'm going to use Moses as a classic example of this exact thing taking place. Here's Moses, called by God to bring God's people out of bondage. Moses got angry one day and killed an Egyptian. So what you would say, he got in the flesh. God in the flesh. Had to flee on the backside of a desert looking after sheep. And the desert didn't do it for a week or two or three or four or five. 1 year, two or three or four or five. 40 years. 40 years. 40 years of looking after sheep. Knowing that you have a call, knowing that you were called to deliver God's people, but here you are. You're not doing anything about that call. Because you were hasty. And in your haste, it caused you to have to flee. But I got some encouraging news. Because God won't leave you in that position. If you cry out to him, I don't have proof of this. I believe Moses was probably walking along just thinking, there's more to my life than this. Come on. I mean, I was raised in Pharaoh's house. And he probably recapped the story over and over, how he was hid, how he was raised, brought up, how he was educated, how he was learned. And you know, well, what am I doing now with my life? And one day, a bush began to burn. Just an ordinary bush. But if you out in the fields or any farming community, whatever, you know, the one thing that takes place, there's going to be fires. Forest fires, grass fires. That's what happens. And it's actually healthy. You know why? When there's a forest fire in California and it goes through and decimates the forest, it's because they never let it burn. If you just let it burn, there won't be much of the pile all the leaves and everything like that, but also the pine needles and stuff like that. And it would just burn through, the bottom of the trees would be black, but it'll be fine. There won't be a problem. But they let it pile up 3 foot. When it comes through, it takes out the trees. There's some seeds that only open up with fire. So unless the fire opens up that seed, it's not going to grow. And you can study that out. And so instead of stopping the fire, let the fire burn. That's what's wrong in the church. Church stops any fire. If there's any fire, I should quickly stop. Stop that. Stop this over here. Stop that. If any fire breaks out, the devil's afraid of fire. Because he knows if the fire gets in the people, I'm not going to be able to contain them. They broke out. Somebody said, what happened? They broke out. What's wrong? They're free. They're running with fire. They're going through the cities. They're laying hands on the sick. They're casting out devils. That fire gives you a holy, holy boldness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this bush is burning. And then the reason why he came near, because the bush wasn't consumed. Normally if a bush burns, it gets consumed. This bush is still as bushy as it's ever been. It's green, but this fire is on this green bush. It's not consumed. So he draws near. And then a voice speaks to him. Moses, take off your shoes. And so he takes off his shoes because he's standing on this holy ground. And then God commissions him with the fire. He says, you go and you tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Now, you know, Moses, he's not stupid. He said, okay, if I go there, because I got to go face Pharaoh, this is not some little small thing. I'm going to the one that I fled from. I've raised in the house. I know the might of Pharaoh. If I'm going to go to Pharaoh and I'm going to speak to him, how do I communicate to him? I have no army with me. What am I going to say to Pharaoh? Who am I going to tell him? Because you can say, so who sent you here? That's the first thing. When you arrive at a place, they say, well, who sent you? We go into cities and people say, so who sent you? Who invited you? You know, by whose authority are you here? No one invited you to this town. I said, no, sir. You're totally right. No one did invite us. We received no invite. But I come from Africa and I didn't know you, and so you could never have invited me. But I did receive a commandment to go into all the world, and I looked on the map and your place was in all the world, so that's why I've come. So, no, I didn't get an invite, but I received the commandment. So the commandment supersedes any invite that I could ever receive. Go. Who can I say has sent me? And I love this. This is so phenomenal. And God says to him, you tell him, I am. What an announcement. I am. I never heard, I have in all my life, and I've traveled 50 nations, I've never ever heard that I am a sent someone. I mean, in the sense of that, you know, you don't go in the business place or whatever. You're there sitting in a corporate office, and a man walks in. I am has sent me. I mean, this is like the greatest announcement. I am. And I've said this so many times, and I really believe it. I believe this was what I'm about to tell you with all of my heart. And the only way I can prove it to you is when we get to heaven and we get everything's all settled. I mean, this is after everything. New heaven, new earth, and everything. And we all live in there with Jesus. And I'm going to pull the virtual reality tapes of the actual event, and I'm going to wind it back. I'm going to just right back to that moment, and I'm going to step into it. I'm going to freeze everything. You know, like they freeze everything in the movie. Just, and I'm going to step into it, and I'm going to walk around the front of Moses when he's standing in the Pharaoh. Let my people go! Like that. And I'm going to freeze it at that moment with Moses' finger, like that, pointing at Pharaoh. And then I'm going to come around the front of Moses, and I want to look in his eyes because I know what I'm going to see. When I look in his eyes, I'm going to see flames of fire from the bush. Flames of fire from the bush. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Fuego de Dios. Hallelujah. The fire of God. Oh, hallelujah. He makes his servants flames of fire. God did not call you to be a wet blanket. God did not call you to be an ice cube. God did not call you to be a snow cone. God called you to be flames of fire. That's why on the day of Pentecost, cloven tongues of fire fell upon each of them. And there's all this talk about strange fire. The only thing strange fire is when you pretend to have the fire and you don't. That's all it is. Everybody thinks the strange fire is actually fire. It's actually not. It's just when you pretend to have the anointing and you don't. That's strange fire. There's nothing mystical about it. When you worship and your heart's not in it, strange fire. When you give and you're flipping about it, that's strange fire. That's what strange fire is all about. But God is the one that instituted fire in the church. And it's the fire of God that's carried the body of Christ from the day of Pentecost until this hour. It's the fire of God that's carried missionaries to the far-flung corners of the globe. It's the fire of God that's carried individuals that have even faced death in the hands of firing squad for those that were preaching the gospel while they were being stoned. It was the fire of God that sustained them. It was the fire of God that sustained Stephen while he was being stoned. And he said, I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. It's the fire of God that will sustain the church in this final hour. It's the fire of God that sustained the three Hebrew children in the burning fiery furnace. It was the fire of God that saved them and all of his men. Nebuchadnezzar's men were killed because the fire was so hot. But the fire of God sustained Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If you live in the fire, the enemy will not be able to touch you. If you live in the fire, no devil can come close to you. If you live in the fire, you will be safe. Oh, hallelujah. He'll be about you as a wall of fire. Oh, he'll be about you as a wall of fire. No harm and evil will come nigh unto you. Isn't this phenomenal? At least I think so. It's my protection. You want to get close to me, you're going to have to come through fire. I have to do a thing. Fire God's going to get on them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's in the secret place. Okay, children of Israel come out of Egypt. How does he bring them out? Pillar of cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. The cloud to bring cool from the desert heat. The fire to bring warmth from the cool of the desert air at night. But to guide the way. If the enemy would come, he'd have to stand between the children of Israel and the fire. We can't get there. There's a fire between them. Think about it. The devil says, I want to get close to that one. And the demons report and they get the message back to hell and say, we've tried. We've tried everything. We come around and there's fire around them. It's intense fire. We can't get close. We can't get close. Hallelujah. Our safety is living in the fire of God. Because you shall be baptized in the Holy Ghost of fire. Baptism means to be immersed. That means I'll be immersed into fire. You'll be immersed into fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm hanging on for dear life here tonight. I feel it so strong. I'm just trying to wade my way through this whole thing here tonight. What the fire of God will do will burn through you and burn out everything that is not of God. If there's a lot of things that are not of God, it's going to be a painful process. But you just need to let it burn. Just say, God, whatever's not of you, I want it gone. Any attitude, anything that's not of you, take it away from me. And let his fire burn. Once that process is fine, then you can go on walking in the glory that God has called you to walk in that resurrection life. If the fire doesn't purify, then the fire actually, listen, I'm telling you, I'm going to say this, but I've seen a lot of people play with the fire of God and their life is cut short. You can't. It'd be better for you just to be a Baptist. No, just be a nice little Baptist and don't touch the fire, because if you play with the fire, you will die. It's not a game. But here's the bottom line. Somebody said, well, I don't believe the fire. I said, well, you've got to understand there's different areas of the fire. You either have the fire of the Holy Ghost so that he can do a work on the inside of you. He can purge and burn out everything in the world. Or at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be fire. And your whole life's work will be laid on the altar, and the fire of God will come down, and it will consume your whole life's work. And if what you've done was built on eternal things, and the eternal things of God, it'll be gold, jewels, and precious stones. If it's not, it will be wood, hay, and stubble. It will be burned up, and you will have nothing to show for your life. So wouldn't you rather the fire burn now than the fire burn later? Okay, so it's either fire now, fire then, or hellfire. Which fire do you want? But there is fire. There's no getting around fire. Everybody talks about a flood, you know, and the seas will rise and there'll be a worldwide flood. Impossible. The Bible says there'll never be another flood, but the earth will be destroyed by fire. So, and you can get to watch the whole thing. We'll have a grandstand view watching everything. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm of the opinion that it's better for us to let the fire of God burn and just tell the Lord, look, whatever area, there's nothing sacred. Let it just burn right through me. Whatever needs to go, it must go. I don't want it. I want nothing that's not of you. Let only that which is of you remain. Can you say amen? And then you're going to be safe. Some people get afraid of the fire, but don't be afraid of the fire. Fire won't hurt you. It'll just get rid of all the things of the flesh. But it will never hurt you. Now, let me wrap this up with this. So the fire's burning. How many people you know that the fire was burning in them, and then something happened, and they're just not like that anymore? Some of you have been able to watch us from 93. You haven't been able to watch. And I tell you, we have done everything we can to make sure that the fire is burning on a regular daily basis, in our home, in our marriage, in our children, in everything we do. And I'm not saying it's just been a plain road up the side. I mean, we've had everything, including the kitchen sink, thrown at us. I mean, you talk about hurricanes, you talk about tornado, we've had it all. But it was the fire of God that sustained us. But I see preachers come around the fire of God and they're running with revival and souls and laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. And then 5 years later, they don't even have tongues in their service. They got a little 1 hour dry cleaning service and everything's changed. And I go, how? How do you come in a fire and then go out? I do not understand. For me to try to be a nominal preacher, I couldn't do it even if I tried. There's no ways, even if I just tried to just. And so tonight, as we see in the Word, God has said, I mean, I don't even know how to do that. Let us pray. Dear God, as we are gathered in this place tonight, we thank Thee that Thou and Thy great love and Thy great mercy Thou hast looked upon us, O God. And we pray that, Lord, Thou would enable Thy people to serve Thee. May we hunger for Thee, O God. May we spend time in Thy presence. May we share our faith with others. May they too see you, Lord. I don't know how to do that. How do you do that?
that's so difficult. How? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't even know how to have a funeral properly. When I have a funeral, I give an altar call and I pray for the family. I don't know how to have a normal funeral. We have a funeral, it's a celebration. How can churches be normal when the fire is falling? You should never come to a meeting without the presence of God. Ever! That's like going to a restaurant where there's no food. Would you go sit in a restaurant all evening and just read the menu? Let the chef come out and tell you about how he cooked food back in 1935. And how he had his grandmother's recipe back in 65. And oh, would to God that I could cook it again. But one day, someday, somehow, that one day we'll be able to cook that again. We don't know how. Let's just pray. Oh God, that we may cook that meal again. Oh God, that we could just smell the fragrance of the meal as it was cooked. Oh God. All we can do is just read thy menu. And would you even go to a restaurant if you sat there and you opened the menu and you said, could I have this? I'm sorry, sir, we don't have that. What about this over here? Sir, we don't have that. Well, what about this over here? No, sir, that passed away. that passed away with the last chef. When the last chef died. There's no one that can cook that meal anymore. We just read about it. Just look at the pictures. Read about it. That's all. And so you come and you sit at the table and you salivate and you read it. Would to God, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's just pray that even if we just have a fragrance from the meal come through, just so we can just smell what it would be like if we did have it. Let's have several people testify to when they were, and I remember how it was. I was there when he cooked that meal. My God. If you were there, you would have loved every minute of it. Oh, would to God that we could go back to those days. If we could just go back to the days of the apostles of old. If we could just go back and walk in the time of Jesus. How are we struggling here, down here below, on the earth? I just really had it with the earth. I just wish I could be taken out of here. I want to go home to be with Jesus. I'm just tired. I'm just tired of living now. I just want him to take me home. Just Jesus, just come down and take me out of here. Put me out of my misery, oh God. All I get to do is read a menu over and over, and there's no food. There's nothing to drink, and I'm thirsty, oh God. Well, we got rid of that chef because he was messy in the kitchen. I mean, the tomato sauce is flying all on the wall, and the pasta he had all over the place. The food was phenomenal, but he's just messy. Messy. We're trying to run a dignified restaurant here. They sing in the kitchen. They sing back there. Oh, la, la. I mean, often I prayed. I said, Lord, why couldn't I just be normal?
So get this, just a month ago with the National Day of Prayer, and everybody's praying. They're praying the right stuff. But I'm visualizing it happening. As they're praying, I think, oh my God, if what they're praying happens, this place is flattened. This place is, everybody's flat under the power. They'd be crawling around the Capitol steps under the anointing. They don't even know what they're praying for. Oh God, that you would come down, that your spirit would rain down upon us. They pray. I go, yes, Lord. It's as though in the prayer, that's the sufficiency. In the prayer, that we uttered the prayer is enough to suffice. That we uttered the prayer was enough to satisfy the hearts of men. But men are praying, they're hungry, but as you saw, we talked about the God who answers by fire. The fire comes. When the fire comes, it comes. And then that's the time everybody's, there's nothing to say. There's nothing to pray. The fire's done come. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So people, let the fire go out. You can't let the fire go out. You got to protect the anointing. Do whatever it takes. Don't hang around the wrong kind of people. Don't go hang around people that are critical. Don't hang around people that are judgmental. Don't hang around people. Listen. You can help people, but don't let them help you with their attitude. Stay around people of God. Stay around people that are holy. Stay around people that are pure. Don't let the world get on you. Don't get dirty with the world. Don't get soiled with the world. Stay pure. Somebody said, I can't do that. It's the 21st century. Yes, you can. The blood of Jesus will keep you pure. The blood of Jesus will keep you holy. You can't even go to a movie today. I can't tell you. My wife and I try to go to 3 movies. We walk in, pay everything, and within 2 minutes, we up. And we leave. We just walk out. I'm not even subjecting myself to that stuff. And that was PG-13. I mean, all you can do is watch G, and even that has got innuendos in it. So I just watch the Golf Channel and the Cooking Channel. I mean, there's nothing else. Why is it that some people had the fire and it went down? Is it that God moving in another season in their life? So what you tell me, there's seasons of the fire of God. There's seasons of being on fire, then there's seasons of lukewarm. I mean, we can't live in the fire all the time. How can you live in the fire of God all the time? You don't need it. We want to just have a regular life. We don't all go around praying for people and casting out devils. I mean, some days I don't feel like casting out devils. And they talk about walking in the joy of the Lord. I don't want to always walk in the joy. There's times that I just feel like crying. And I want to cry. You didn't let me have that opportunity. And not rob me. You know, you can cry in the presence of God. I weep many times in the presence of God. I've been working on a nervous breakdown. I'm going to have one. I just feel it coming on. I deserve it. I tell you, I deserve this. God called you to be radical. There's nothing about the Christian life that's not radical. God called you to be radical. Hey, just using the name of Jesus is going to get you into trouble. Somebody says, don't use that right now. Listen, hey, you know what? I'm hearing preachers today praying in the name of your son. And I want to go, and what's his name? In the name of thy holy son. Did you forget? Jesus. Oh, they mustn't tell me not to do that. I heard this with Brother John Osteen, who's gone obviously home to be with the Lord, but he was at a banquet and there was a lot of people there, different, you know, faiths and whatever. And they said, now look, we want you to pray over the food, but don't use the name of Jesus. It's like, you know. Brother John Osteen got up, he prayed over the knife and the fork and the serviette and the plates and the salt and the pepper. He prayed, and in the name of Jesus, I pray. I mean, he prayed the name of Jesus over everything on the table. And then sat down. Now go to 2 Timothy. We're going to close this session with this. If you can call this a session, whatever you can call it, I don't know. Sounds nice. I love this because this explains everything. And I'm going to read from the Amplified Bible. And I'm going to look at verse 4. And when, as I recall your tears, I yearn to see you so that I may be filled with joy, I'm calling up memories of your sincere and unqualified faith, the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ. Now stop right there. That's where it is. That's where it begins. That's where it ends. The leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ. That means not just in the pulpit. That means not just under the anointing, as people say. That means 24 hours a day. The leaning of your entire personality on Him. In absolute trust and confidence in His power. Listen, and maybe this is not so for everybody because, you know, people might not recognize who you are. But I think Christians should be a witness to exactly who Jesus is. And I have realized a long time ago, you have to be careful. You can't just go around and do anything. Let me tell you, not that I would want to, but you have to abstain from all appearance of evil. You have to be careful because people are watching. I come right to the gate at Reagan International Airport, flying back to Tampa, and as I'm standing there, a lady walks right to me. I watch you every night, and she brings a little Filipino lady to me. She needs Jesus. So I lead her to Christ. I pray with both of them. I mean, it's right. Everybody's standing there. I take out a copy of my book on Jesus, give it to each of them, and they go off. They're just smiling or whatever. So I get on the flight. I'm sitting there right in the first class seat on this United Airlines, sitting there. And we take off. We get the altitude, you know, whatever. The next thing, the stewardess comes and kneels down. She's kneeling down in the aisle. I think, what in the world? A stewardess is kneeling down in the aisle, and she kneels right down by me. She looks at me and she says, I've been to your meetings. She says, I'm coming to help you in Washington. Yeah. She said, I'm coming to help you in Washington. So she spent like 20 minutes. I said, lady, because she's a lot senior. I said, surely you don't want to kneel here. It's like uncomfortable. She said, no, I'm happy to be right here. I just want to talk for a bit. So all the passengers like, what's that woman up with? So you might think people don't know who you are or whatever, but people are watching you. They're watching everything. A pastor friend of mine, actually, in fact, Dr. Ron Phillips, how many of you have seen him on television from Abba's house, Chattanooga, Tennessee? He told me, he said, I'm aware of it. We were talking about this kind of stuff. He said, I was on a plane going to Europe, and he said they came and brought wine. And he said, you know, the thought comes to mind, well, you know, you're on a flight. And he said, no, I don't want it. And they took it away. And when he landed, the people came up and said, we were watching what you did. And what you did, we knew You know what I'm saying? People are watching. They say, well, let's see what Pastor does now. He didn't know that we're there. So, the leaning of your entire personality on Him 24/7, and you can't do it. You have to practice that. Bring yourself under discipline. Is that okay? So the leaning of your entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Now watch this. A faith that first lived permanently in the heart of your grandmother Lois. Oh, hallelujah. And your mother Eunice. And now, I am fully persuaded, dwells in you also. So it's the faith of the grandmother, the fire of the grandmother, the fire of the mother, the fire on Him. That is why I remind you to stir up. Everybody say, stir up. Rekindle the embers off. Fan the flame off. Keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by the means of laying on of my hands with those elders at your ordination. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity. Why would people get timid? It's because the fire is waning down. So if you start getting timid and ashamed, then you know the fire is not at the level. When the fire gets high, there is no timidity. Total boldness. God did not give you a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven and cringing and fawning fear, but has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a calm and well-balanced and disciplined and self-control. Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me, a prisoner for His sake, but with me take your share of suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you, and do it in the power of God. We don't have an option. It's one thing if you're ignorant and you're out there and you're just in religion, you don't know any better. You don't know any better. But we who have experienced the power of God do not have an option. For us to walk away from it is almost to do total, just ashamed. Bring shame to the Holy Ghost. And I respect Him more than anything. I don't want to do anything to hurt the Holy Spirit. I don't want to do anything to grieve Him. And I don't want to do anything to quench Him. If it means my life is finished, then just let it finish. To compromise your ministry. That's why I made a decision to just be radical and just be that way all the time. I'm not going to tone anything down. I'm not going to, no matter where I go, when I meet people in the government, I'm as like I am now, just with no microphone. As I mean, full of fire of God. And they say, we see your passion, you know. But, I mean, they don't know how to explain it. But I'm not going to tone it down just because I'm sitting with some high-ranking official or whatever. Because they don't need me just talking like somebody else. I didn't come to just talk to them like somebody else. I came to bring the message, and I'm going to bring it with power. Because the likelihood of them ever being in the meeting, unless God orchestrates it, is remote. So I'm bringing a meeting to them. I'm bringing it hot off the grill. I'm bringing it straight out of the flame, and I'm bringing it right there. Listen, how many of you like to eat steak? I do not like cold steak, and I don't like rare steak. I don't even like medium steak. I like the thing cooked, and I like it hot, and I like the plate hot. That's just the way I eat steak. And when I cook steak for people, I tell them, you get ready, because when it comes off the fire, it's ready. Don't eat your salad first. You start eating that steak. Otherwise, you're going to miss out on the flavor and how it tastes. I give him a plate with all the salad and everything. You start eating now, because when that steak comes, you better be chomping on that thing. It's coming to you hot. Can you say amen? I'm not bringing you cold bread. I'm bringing you hot bread. When you open it, the butter just melts in it. Melts in your mouth. Come on now. I'm bringing it to you hot. Caliente. I'm bringing it right out from the fire of God, right into your heart. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we stir it up. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. As a pastor, that's easier said than done, because on a Sunday morning, you know, everything could go wrong. The dog thing, and then the cat, and the wife, and the kids, and whatever. I know all that stuff. Then you get to church, and you walk out there, and the praise and worship's not going like it should. You know, the praise and worship, something's not right. The thing, one thing's out of tune or something, and the sound's not right or whatever, and you stand there, and the usher, he didn't show up or whatever. Listen, hey. And then they drop the ball on something, and you stand there trying to coordinate, and now you have to go minister. So you come out, but you can already feel it. There's not really, the atmosphere's not there like it should be. And what do? Do you just succumb to it? Do you just like come under that temperature, or do you go there and explode? What's in the inside of you? So I go animated. I just go and explode. Just let the fire come out of me. Within 3, 4, 5 minutes, there it is. There the fire of God starts falling. Can you say amen? God can come and turn the most lukewarm situation into a bonfire. Can you say amen? And there might be some wet wood out there, but there's a few old dried old trees. And my God, if a lightning strikes 2 or 3 of them, we're going to have a move of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But you've got to go in the fire. I tell pastors, because I see pastors go, they travel. They go out and travel. And you see them when they're traveling, they're like another person. Then they come back in the church, and then they're like, and I go, how? You go travel, and you like this other person. Then you come here in your home, and then you just like, because, well, the people know me and all that kind of stuff. I tell them, pretend that nobody knows you. Pretend you just landed the Amazon, and you're going out to preach to When I walk out, I picture people with tribal dresses on and all that kind of stuff, and I just picture I'm preaching to a whole tribe in Papua New Guinea. I mean, I just pretend I'm somewhere that I'm not. You know what I mean? I just do it, because if I have to look at their faces, I'm going to succumb. If I look to their faces, I'm going to back off. If I look to who's there and who's not there and how they're feeling or whatever, I'm not going to let the message come forth the way it's supposed to come forth. So I ignore what I see. And I just go with what I feel on the inside and let the fire just come out. There's a lot of people, there's so much fire on the inside, but they don't minister under the anointing. They minister out of the intellect, but they don't minister out of the anointing. If they ever let themselves explode, out of your belly will flow. Not out of your head. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Fire! Just a couple of lightning strikes, it'll get it going. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But this same power, it doesn't just work within the confines of this building. This same power works out on the streets. This same power will fall in restaurants, in lobbies of hotels, in coffee shops, on an airliner flying somewhere. The same power will fall in a fishing boat. The same power will fall in the golf course. I've seen it happen time and time and time again.
Just let them fall just right there in the public. Let them fall in the pile on the street. Just make sure the cars are not riding. You know, make sure it's on the sidewalk. I mean, be nice to people. Don't pray for them in the middle of the traffic. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Inner fire. Put your hand right there. You're going to stir it up. You've got to stir it up. Some of you are sitting there, but you're not stirring. You've got to stir it up. Stir it up. And it's easy in this room. It's when you get out there that you have to stir it up. Oh, yeah. When you're by yourself, when there's nobody else, there's no choir. There's no choir to sing. There's no music. There's nobody to play. That's when the fire needs to be in manifestation. I'm telling you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir up the gift of God. Stir it up. Some people used to operate in the realm of the Spirit in certain areas with the gifts of the Spirit, but they backed off because of whatever, persecution. And you need to stir it up again. Some people used to flow in prophecy. They don't do that anymore. Some people used to operate in diverse tongues, interpretation tongues. Don't do that anymore. Some people used to operate in the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, word of wisdom. They don't do that anymore. Some people used to pray for the sick, have the gift of healings, the gift of faith, the working of miracles. They don't do it anymore. Stir it up. Stir it up. Stir the gift of God up. I want to pray with you right here. This precious couple are from Argentina. I just bumped in the mall today, and they want me to come. We're going to do a big Spanish crusade right here in Dallas with all the Spanish community coming together. Fire! Fire! Jesus, come here. Fuego! I tell you, the Spanish people, they are open to the things of God. I mean, it's mas fuego. Some of our pale faces, we sit there trying to work it out with our mind. We miss the boat. That's why the Catholic Church is so nervous about what's happening in Central and South America, so they choose an Argentinian pope because they're trying to stop the bleeding because the Pentecostal movement's exploded, and they don't know what to do. The Catholic Church is losing ground. That's why they're reaching out to try to include us. You can't include me. You include me, let me come there to the Vatican, I'll lay hands on every priest, knock them flying, we'll talk about it. Until the power of God come in, knock the Pope and his hat off his head. Come on now, say, get them rolling in the aisle. It's no deal. I'm only included when that's happened. Fact, Jack. That's a fact, Jack. Amen. I'm only included when that happens. Until then, I'm not got nothing to do with that mess. And I don't pray to Mary either. Hallelujah. Bunch of garbage going on right now. People are losing their minds.
It's like they lost their minds. We're not looking for acceptance. Since when do we look for acceptance? From any group or whatever. We already got acceptance by God. Can you say amen? I'll meet with anybody once. It's no problem. I met the devil the other day. It was in one of the deacons down at the first church. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm willing to meet with anybody once, but I'm not going to conform or comply. We already have heaven's mandate. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And by the same token, I'm not saying God can't move within the confines of that, because just over a year ago, we were in Paris, France, and I was walking around the streets of Paris, down the Champs-Élysées, and went right into Notre Dame Cathedral. And I was walking around, and there was a group of people, about 100 people with their hands raised worshiping God, and I felt the power of God in Notre Dame Cathedral. So I'm not saying God can't move anywhere. God will move in a mosque. God will move wherever people are hungry for God. If they're crying out for God, he'll come move. God will move in a bar. God will move down the road at Billy Bob's, down right down to the honky-tonk, right down the road here. So God's not confined to where he moves. He'll move. But that doesn't mean say I'm going to adopt Billy Bob. Well, I saw God moving in Billy Bob's. Y'all coming down there with me? Ain't going to happen. Just because the power of God fell in a mosque doesn't mean say I'm going to a mosque. Power of God's going to fall wherever God comes and moves. Can you say amen? Amen. We could go right now, anywhere in the Fort Worth area. This group of people, we'd go and the fire of God will fall. That don't mean to say that we must go there. Fire of God's falling where you go. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 The fire of God's going to fall in Washington, D.C. The fire of God's going to fall in our nation's capital. Right over the 4th of July weekend, there's fireworks in the sky. But there's going to be fire in the hearts of men and women. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We don't come with just words. A man's wisdom, but we're coming in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And all the politicians that are coming to speak, they've got a letter from us. You're not allowed to attack anybody in government. You can come and speak about the system, but you can't attack people. I won't allow it. I'll rebuke them publicly because I get the mic next. They've got a letter. You're not allowed to come in. This is not a bully pulpit for you and your little thing. I want to talk about the foundation of America and how to repair it. Amen. And we got the solution, and his name is Jesus. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the original First Nations people. Chief cornerstone. Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. A stone that the builders rejected. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost right now. No, I'm telling you. I'm making this up. I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire! 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 Fire of God. The fire of God. Fire of God. Fire. Hallelujah. Fire of the Holy Ghost. The 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 fire of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing wrong with you that a little bit more the fire of God won't cure. There's nothing wrong with you that a little bit more the fire of God won't cure. There's nothing wrong with you that a little bit more the fire of God won't cure. When I prayed about coming here for this celebration, I knew that the best celebration for Pastor
will be about the fire of God in revival. Whether people realize it or not, it's the fire of God that sustained you even unto this hour when many have been cut off and gone by the way. The fire in the hand of God has carried you. These 60 years of ministry, 50 years of pastor in this church, 60 years of marriage. Hallelujah. And it's the fire of God that will carry you forward and ultimately usher you into glory. Glory to God. Glory to God. We stir it up. You're not ever lukewarm and never will be lukewarm. You are Holy Ghost and fire. You are Holy Ghost people. You are people full of the fire of God. That's the way you live. Your temperature is always hot. It's always hot, 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 hot. If you're on holiday, you're still hot. If you're resting, sleeping, you're still on fire. They can wake you up at 2 o'clock in the morning, you're still full of fire. Can you say amen? Fire! 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody said the people would be offended. They don't belong in your church. There are other churches they can be accommodated in, but not in yours. If you're going to have a place where the fire of God is, then don't accommodate the lukewarms. Give them 3 to 6 weeks to change, and then it's time to help them find another place. Run the bus and take them to another congregation. Don't allow the wet blankets to come in and put out the fire. Keep the fire burning. Don't trade the fire for money or fame or fortune. Don't do it. It'll cost you a life. It'll cost you your ministry.
Hallelujah.
When I'm talking with them in Washington, D.C., they said, now you're radical. I said, yes, sir. Radical is the only thing that's going to touch this nation. Because I've been watching all of the non-radical. Radical Islam is shaking this nation. Radical everything else. Radical homosexual agenda is shaking this nation. It's going to take radical believers full of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping me alive. It's the Holy Ghost and fire that is keeping us alive. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands and praise Him. Lift your hands and give Him glory. Tell him you won't ever be ashamed. Tell him you won't ever back off. Tell him you'll remain true to his word. It's not your job to make it happen. It's your job to proclaim. It's your job to speak it out. He will confirm his word with signs and wonders following. You've been called by God to see whole cities and towns and counties and regions and states and even nations shaken. That's what you've been called by God to do. You have not been called to maintain any status quo. When hell reports, it's going to report, Hurricane, your name has come to town. And you can make a decision. You can either be a tropical depression or a tropical storm. I believe God wants it to be a category 5 off the charts. They can't even measure it. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. A David running down to take Goliath. That's what I'm talking about.